Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 305 in the Dot. Gorgeous day out there. Mira Nagarajan is the editor of Sauce Magazine, and she joins me now. Hello, Mira.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get it out of the way. We got to talk about COVID a little bit. And it's not a sum it up kind of thing like we're out of the woods, but let's kind of sum up thus far. I know every restaurant fared differently, but in general, how did we do in St. Louis in the restaurant business thus far during COVID?
You know, that's a really tough question to answer succinctly, but I would say that with respect to COVID right now, what we're noticing is that a lot of restaurants are having trouble finding people to work. So it's not necessarily that people aren't going to go out to eat and that they are looking for customers or looking for people that they can hire. And that's becoming more and more challenging.
Yeah, my friends Rick and Carol Balducci just made national news. I just saw it on Fox News that I think it's 40 years that they had Balducci's and they just closed it down.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like increasingly becoming more common that is the reason. You know, I went out to a place in Mid Rivers called an Indian place in Mid Rivers, and they were saying the same thing. They have no problem getting customers. It's just they're overwhelmed because they don't have any staff.
Yeah, it seems that in life we change by making overcorrections. And I worked food service. My son worked food service for a long time with Jeff Dill, the managing partner at Capital Grill. I think everyone should. And food service in general, I think people haven't been treated as well as they should. They haven't been paid the way that they should. And now there seems to be this reckoning, maybe because of COVID, maybe it's just a coincidence. But people just aren't willing to do really hard work for not much pay, which I don't blame them.
Yeah, I think I think that the tolerance for feeling like people are not being compensated fairly is probably much lower now. But I also think at the onset of the pandemic, so many restaurants had to close, and a lot of those people went on unemployment who were working at restaurants. And as those closures took longer and longer to lift, a lot of those people had to move on to find other sources of work. So it's not, you know, what you're saying, I'm sure that has a lot to do with it as well. But I also think just like from a practical standpoint, people needed a job.
Yeah.
And maybe a lot of them were not really in a position to wait and see before, you know, looking for something new.
Let's talk about the actual food that you guys feature. Mira, I know that, you know, each food cycle has like a different trend, whether they're putting an egg on top or beets and everything. Like, is there anything new that is popping up on a lot of restaurants' menus that we should be on the lookout for?
Well, on the beverage side, we're definitely aware of more and more restaurants selling mezcal cocktails, and we talk about that in our latest issue. Mezcal is, I mean, all tequila are mezcal. Mezcal is an agave-based spirit, and it's got a little bit of smoky, kind of funky flavor to it that a lot of local bartenders are working with and creating delicious cocktails. We had one at Lazy Tiger that was really great. They have a number of mezcal cocktails, and we tried some at Taste in the Central West End that were also excellent. And it's just, if you like tequila, it's a good thing to kind of test out if you're not too familiar with mezcal. So that's one thing we've been definitely keeping our eye on. A lot of new vegan restaurants, just like, you know, we covered a pop-up called 1207 that is operating once a week out of the Retreat Gastropub restaurant in the Central West End. Another place that recently opened up called, it's called CC's Vegan Spot. And they used to be in Elton. They relocated to Princeton Heights. And, you know, we tried their fried oyster mushrooms. We tried their pulled pork sandwich with jackfruit. And, you know, really, really delicious, kind of creative, good food. And Terror Tacos, another place, vegan restaurant that opened up on South Grand. They have all these, they have like a crunch wrap, they have tacos, they have quesadillas, and it's all vegan. So that's another thing that is continuing to grow that we're keeping our eye on.
Mira, a lot of people become huge DoorDash, Grubhub people. In general, do you think this is a good thing for the restaurant industry or a bad thing? I've heard it both ways.
That's a really complicated question, too, because of the economics of it. I think generally a lot of restaurants have said that, you know, it's not always beneficial to them, especially when, like, an order goes wrong or if a customer is unhappy. Like, sometimes the restaurant does lose out on a lot of revenue. So I think it would depend on the volume. So if you're a restaurant that produces, is selling at a larger volume, it might work out financially for a delivery, third-party delivery service to come into the picture. It might not have like a bad economic impact. I can't be positive about that, but I do know there are a number of smaller restaurants that are starting their own delivery and doing that in-house. Like I know Elmwood was doing that for a period of time, Elmwood out in Maplewood, and because people want the convenience of delivery, and sometimes it means for a restaurant, it's like a make or break for you because people are really depending on like the food to show up at their door. Mm-hmm. So, I would say, you know, probably on a larger scale, it's not as detrimental, but for some of these smaller restaurants, if you're able to go pick it up, I think that would be more beneficial to them.
Mira, where do people pick up Sauce Magazine?
Oh, all over town. We have distribution in a number of locations. So I always find it at the Whole Foods. That's where I go to pick it up if I'm running around town. But most independently owned restaurants, if you're out and about, check in, because usually, like, for example, at Mission Taco in the Loop, like, they always have a huge stack of Sauce Magazines. We're usually distributed in independently owned or local restaurants.
Cool. Thanks, Mira. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Rachel, what were you saying before we talked to Mira? You had a...
Well, I had a question, like, kind of going back to, you guys were talking about the video of the lady on the plane and, you know, getting held up at gunpoint at Waffle House because you're complaining about your eggs. Like, it does seem like there's more unhinged behavior than ever before. It could not be, but it's certainly getting a lot of coverage ever since the pandemic hit. And I do tend to think that a lot of that is, like, stress. But... do you think that we don't view other people as people anymore in a way that we did in the past?
I do.
Yep.
I think that's a big part of it. I think we've all become, I think all almost without exception, you got your Father Ted's and your Shmuel, you know, Greenwalds, but for the most part, most of us have become more callous and jaded. Maybe not even since COVID, just since, like, 2000.
I didn't see the video of the lady on the plane. I'm glad I didn't. It would have made me mad. But what makes you think I should take the mic and just talk other than to feed your own ego? Like, the other people on the flight do not care what you have to say.
Yeah.
And you're actually just like wasting everyone's time and putting the flight itself at risk.
Yeah. Oh, and you should have seen her. It was like she was entitled. That's the only word. Like,
so do you look at the hundreds of other people on the flight and go like, well, you're not as important as me. It's all about, like, do you look at other people and not see them as human?
Let me use me as an example. I don't do it in any sort of sinister way, but given what I do for a living, I view the world as content. Anyone and anything can be content for me to entertain my audience. And then I look at the world as an audience, you know, because I'm constantly entertaining people. I think that with the advent of social media, everyone thinks, and I'm not saying that I'm a real entertainer, so I get to treat people like they're not people, but I think that we all kind of have that now, where the world is our stage and everyone out there is just fodder for us to either make fun of or to get laughs or likes from. And I just think we've all just forgotten that everyone's just an individual little skin bag living their life, you mm-hmm. know?
More like, are you talking like entertainment? Like, I want to capture this on video, so I put it on social media, so then my thing goes viral because I'm the one who got this. It's like, it's that, and everything's entertainment for us. We need to, even in politics, we need to be entertained. There needs to be a fight. Somebody needs to be the good guy. Somebody needs to be the bad guy. It's almost like every single situation, even the vaccine. Someone's the good guy, someone's the bad guy. It's like we're constantly living in a reality TV show that we can't get out of in every single situation.
Jon Stewart, have you seen his new show? Have you watched the first episode? Jon is just one of my absolute favorite people in the world. I think he's an absolute genius, one of the funniest people ever to live, so smart. And he's kind of reinvented himself that he's still very funny, but his new show on Apple TV is quite serious and it's taking on issues. And he just did an interview with Jake Tapper, pretty awkward, where he's basically saying, you guys are doing a terrible job. Part of your job, he's saying to Tapper and the media in general, is to de-escalate things, to give perspective, to be a friend of the citizen. Mm. But all you do is escalate. He said, how many more stories about people fighting over masks do we need? Are you really informing? Is there really anyone out there that doesn't get that people have differing views on masks? How many more Karen videos do we need? Do you really think there are people out there who don't understand that there are some people out there like this? And I thought, what a great point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just because there's a new Karen or a new person who slaps someone at a Walmart over a mask, do we really even need to know it? It's just going to whip us. It's going to poke us emotionally somewhere between a 1 and a 10, depending on what pokes us. And I thought it was such a good point he made to Jake Tapper, like, shame on you. Quit showing all this stuff. You don't have to show everything.
That's a big industry right now, though. Have you heard of, there's a website called Sorry Anti-Vaxxer. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's a website where you'll go and basically it's obituaries for people who were anti-vax and died of COVID. And it's like, it posts a little story about, oh, this is what mm-hmm. this person said on social media. This is what this person said, you know. You might remember this person from the famous Walmart slapping video where they wouldn't let her buy yarn and she slapped somebody because she wasn't wearing a mask. She's dead now and we can all laugh at it. And then it's like, you know, hey, sorry. You know what I mean? Like, and it's a very gross website. I'm kind of surprised.
They have another, Reddit has one called the Herman Cain Award, which is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So there's multiple outlets to
you know what? We're
celebrate
such,
people's deaths.
There are people out there, a handful, who would say that to a person's face, make fun of someone at a funeral, but maybe less than 500.
Much less.
The rest of us are just a bunch of punks who wouldn't do any of this without the cover of anonymity.
Okay, so how many things... Like, for example, someone who grows up in, like, an abusive household, there's probably things going on that they don't realize are wrong. So they carry those habits into their adult life, and then maybe they stumble across something or they've educated themselves and they think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to stop doing that. That's actually not normal. I was raised to think it's normal, and now I know it's not normal. It's not okay. Do you think the internet, when people get together and they say, sorry, anti-vaxxer, and especially someone who's growing up in that climate and goes like, well, this is just online. Like, this is just how we act online. It's the internet, so it doesn't matter. So we can be as cruel and unfeeling and it's all for the lulz and it's whatever.
Yeah.
They're not even registering how bad it is because they're just used to it. That's their whole family, their whole internet family is doing it. So they don't realize that it's bad.
Back when, Nick won't mind me telling the story. Back when Nick was at Mizzou, I went to an informal dad's day for his group of friends. He wasn't in a frat or anything. And Nick proceeded to get way too drunk. It just like, he was that guy. And we're at the Mizzou game. And I'm like, okay, let's go back to your apartment. I'm not having any fun. You're being a jerk. And he looked at me and he goes, Dad, this is the standard, meaning like this is how drunk we get. And I remember in that moment thinking, he's not wrong. Like, I don't want any part in it. I'm uncomfortable that he's this drunk. I don't want to be hanging out with him right now. But he's not wrong. This is what they do every single weekend. And, Rach, I think that's analogous to what you're saying. Just like when that's your standard of just crapping on people, like you don't feel like you're doing anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. And the part of it that you said, like you have people to back you up, too. You have people who are doing the same ridiculous behavior, so you feel like you're in a group. Well, these people think it's okay, and these people are doing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
So how do we change that? It's the impossible question, but, like, it really feels like we don't look at each other as human. We have backup, like Trish said, like, anytime you are going to behave badly, there's always going to be someone who covers your butt for you and goes, like, just so you know, I agree with you. How do we make a change as a society?
I don't know that we can. I think it has to happen individually. I still make inappropriate jokes every single day. My mom's probably mad at me right now for making fun of the cornbread thing. But I remember back when I'd been on the air about 3 years, a Boy Scout had a tree fall on him. And I made some stupid joke like, that's a tough way to earn a badge. And the next day, I got an email from a guy saying, I know this family. Like, this is a real kid. He was 8 years old. Here's a picture of him. And I was just like, that's it. And I went on the air the next day, apologized. There's nothing funny ever about a child dying. And that's what it took for me to get a little perspective about, oh, it's not always just for the joke.
To be embarrassed.
To be embarrassed. Yeah. To be shamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's probably what has to happen, you know, to everybody.
That's a good use of that word. We, as a society, we've lost so much shame. We don't have shame. Whether you're the person that's, you know, posting the thing about the anti-vaxxer, or you're the person that's going into Walmart and throwing a tantrum and kicking people and throwing things around because they want you to wear a mask or whatever.
Yeah, half the country thinks you're a hero.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We need...
Whichever side you're on.
Yeah. We all need a little more shame.
Let's start with you.
Shame.
Let's tell you guys. We'll do it after the break. 325 DGS. Got Kevin Wheeler on the other side of this break, talk some sports. I didn't get to hear what Mike Schilt said today, so I'll be looking forward to hearing that from him.
I think that's what he said.
Wouldn't that be great?
He called the press conference and he said, listen up.
That would make me really happy. God. Rach said something today. I forget what you were talking about, like riding a bike.
Something. It's harder than you remember, guys.
And to me, riding a bike is a 10-speed and a Schwinn, and you have the two levers. You have, of course, 1 through 10, and, like, third was my gear, you know. Fifth, maybe, when you really get, like, there's no need for gears. You know what I'm saying? No one ever puts it in eighth gear.
You didn't even know probably what it did, what first, second, or third was.
No, you just knew where the levers went.
Yeah, riding a bike as an adult, pretty much every time I take my bike out, I'm like, when can I get off this thing? It's so much more strenuous than I remember as a child. I mean, it's just cardio, you know, and it's still fun, but, like, the first time I'll take it out in the spring or whatever, I'm panting.
I won't get on one because I think, and I know that I'm going to fall off. I know I'm going to fall off.
Really?
Yeah, I just think I'm going to.
Is your bike too tall for
you? I'll be really embarrassed. I don't even have a bike.
Now I'm picturing her being on a freak tall bike. Since Rach said that.
I don't even have one. I'm just saying, like, I know I'm the person who's going to fall in the middle of the street. And I don't want to wear a helmet, I'll be honest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I took my bike out a couple times this summer without the helmet, and it's so much better. I know you're supposed to wear a helmet for safety. And we all should wear a helmet, yes. And I usually do, but I didn't one time, and I had a blast.
Now,
you feel so much cooler.
That's why I don't ride one.
I haven't been on a bike in 20 years, in my defense, but I would have a hard time putting a helmet on.
Yep.
I know I sound like Trump with mask right now. I don't see it, but I just...
So I'm just not going to ride one.
So why do motorcyclists not wear helmets, like, over on the east side?
Good question.
I think...
Is it they don't want to look dorky, or they don't like the way it feels?
I think... They may not want to look dorky. They want to feel the wind on their face. Riding a motorcycle is already an inherently cool guy kind of thing. And I think that people think it makes them look less cool to have the helmet on. I haven't done it yet. Like if I rode,
if
I rode my bike over to my mom's, which I will, I would probably take my helmet off and ride around the country roads just to get that feel. Now you can die in a country road, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think I would ever really ride without a helmet.
I just get nervous every time I see one.
Yeah, I
someone
know.
Doing it without
that is
it.
Scary.
Like, not because I'm trying to tell someone what to do with their body or what with their life, but it's just like I don't want you to get hurt.
Well, I gotta tell you, man. I mean, I ride with a full face helmet. A really expensive one. I remember when I was buying my last bike and the guy selling me the bike, it's not a real expensive bike. And he said, I'd rather see you go cheap on the bike than the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Spend the money on the helmet. So I did. But I've had like bugs hit my face shield. I've had them hit my face and I must just be a puss because it almost takes you down.
Really?
Oh yeah. If you're going 75, 80 miles an hour, and a June bug hits you in the cheek, like, it hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, it'll distract you pretty easy. So that would scare the hell out of me. Welcome back, guys. DJ Esslin, KMOX 334. Kevin Wheeler is brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. The ladies were just making fun, and I have to pig pile. The only reason that Kevin Wheeler and Tom Ackerman have any listeners is because of the genius of the KMOX promotions, like, I like sports. I listen to sports.
I like sports.
I like sports.
We like sports, and we don't care.
I've never seen the thing that makes me laugh about that promo is that I like Turtles Kid. You've never seen that, right?
No.
I'm going to show it to you at the break. Okay.
That is what it reminds me of.
It's what it sounds like to me. Yeah, I'm not going to. I don't want to waste too much. But everybody that's seen it knows what I'm talking about.
Have you guys ever
dressed up for Halloween and they're trying to interview him, and he's just like, I like turtles. That's what that promo sounds like to me. I like sports.
Have you guys ever seen the Lonely Island We Like Sports video?
No.
It reminds me of that. just look it up.
Every
really
time
good.
It plays, we all just look at each other.
I have the I Like Turtles video ready for
Do
you.
Do it.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm trying. Here, I have it right here.
Okay. Yeah, so you got to see it too, but hearing it's pretty awesome.
Wait a minute. I just lied. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Oh, wait a minute. I'm trying to get it back to the
conquered
beginning.
Conquered by YouTube once again.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, gosh,
Trish
I just
versus
want to
technology.
Go to the building.
And on, boom people. Goes the dynamite.
All right. Here we go. Go.
Back here live at the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
Oh, okay. You're great. I like turtles.
But she, like, why didn't she just go with it? She was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do now. And she, like,
that kid just wrecked her day.
Totally.
She's like, I had only Halloween questions. I don't know what to do with turtles.
That's awesome.
I like turtles.
I like sports. I listen to sports.
KMOX. What you don't know is that's actually me in that promo.
That's great. So I didn't get to hear a word of Shield. What did he say?
Not much. Basically, all he did was list a lot of people and say thank you. You know, like he thanked all of the coaches and minor league staff and everybody that he's basically worked with over 18 years. I don't think he listed everybody, but he did list a lot of people by name. Thanked his current coaching staff. It did eventually, too, say thank you to Bill DeWitt Jr., John Mozeliak. They were included in some of the listing. And then especially made a point of thanking his family and his wife and his two stepdaughters. And that's pretty much it. And then he said, you know, as far as the rest of it, I was basically told not to talk out of school. So, I mean, like when he was a kid, taught not to speak out of school. So I'm not going to. I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah.
You didn't expect. I mean, did you expect like some big revelation
no,
or
no,
it's pretty
this,
much what you.
What happened was exactly what I thought.
So what are you guys hearing behind the scenes? What's
so
your best theory?
We can kind of draw some conclusions here based on things that have been said by the people involved, either directly or indirectly. But last week, John Mozeliak was asked directly if it had anything to do with Jeff Albert, like the
hitting coach,
the conflict between hitting coach manager, if that was real. And Mo's answer was something along the lines of it wasn't the sole reason. So that's certainly a part of it. He would have said it's not a part of it if it wasn't a part of it. When you say it's not the sole reason, you're saying yes, it's a part of it. Katie Wu of The Athletic texted with Mike Shildt. And he didn't really give up much there either, but one of the things that she did was kind of lay out a few of the things that are being discussed and his on the analytics, like this talk about wanting to be more analytics heavy moving forward. And he said something like there's some merit to that, but that's not the whole story.
Gotcha.
So we've got a couple of pieces that are coming together.
Help us understand that, Kev. When what approach would, I'm sorry, what's the gentleman's name, the hitting coach?
Jeff Albert.
Okay. What approach would Jeff Albert be taking and the analytics be taking that Mike Schilt would not?
Well, as far as the hitting, we'll just do that separately because to me they're separate things. The hitting thing could simply be a different philosophy about how to go out about it, right? If you think about the broad field of hitting a baseball, there are a lot of branches on this tree and they don't all agree with each other. You know, there are philosophies about being aggressive early in counts. There are those that say wait for your pitch and don't expand your zone. The best hitters do a little bit of everything and they change it up all the time so the other team doesn't really pick up on what they're doing at any given moment. So there are a lot of different types of ways to go about it. And what the Cardinals are what they're doing more with Jeff Albert is more of the new school. It's more using technology and figuring out things like your approach angle, which leads to a launch angle, which people hate to hear. Because they don't like terms they don't understand, which is kind of hilarious. But like these terms have been out there for decades. You know, like when, you know, we talk about launch angle. And if you say that, I can guarantee you right now, there's some dude in his car going, I don't want to hear about launch angle. And what I would tell you is that they talked about it 80 years ago. They just said that it was a hitter that had nice loft in his swing. So he's got nice natural loft. That should lead to some power when he gets to the major leagues. Like it's the same idea. Ted Williams talked about launch angle in the 1940s and then again in the 1970s when he was a hitting coach. Like these things have always been there, but we're much more in tune with what it means from a like physics / mathematics / geometry issue. Like that's all it is, by the way. It's physics and geometry and a little bit of math thrown in, which I understand why it makes people hate them because we all hated those things in school. Right? I mean, I hated physics.
And baseball is a sanctuary from things like
that. And we're trying to do it, but it's always been about that. All sports are about geometry and physics, right? Applying leverage and using angles to do it. And it's also about math, timing. And obviously, over time, math measures what we do, right? But like all of these things have always been there. They just weren't discussed this way. And the ways that I understand about Jeff Albert's hitting approach is a lot of tech, a lot of feedback for your players based on what they're doing. So how hard are you hitting it? How often are you hitting it hard? Which pitches are you hitting the best? And how do you find more of those in game and stuff like that? And I don't really think any of that's as big a problem as people think. The Cardinals lineups have struggled in recent years, but I would argue that it was because they had too few good hitters. And this year, they wound up being around league average offensively, but amazingly, it's because they had more good hitters, because you brought in Nolan Arenado. You know, Tyler O'Neill, instead of being a role player, was a rock star. So your team got better, not necessarily because anything changed with the approach, but you have more talented players. And I think all of these approaches can work. But one thing that works for Albert, too, is he was brought in to do all of these same things in the minors. So the whole minor league offensive philosophy is run basically by Jeff Albert. And all of the teams and the hitting coaches kind of work off that same template. Well, they just had like 10 or 12 hitters have massive breakout years in the minor leagues this year. I mean, massive. Guys that hit 10 home runs as a career high before hitting 27 home runs this year. Like some big changes. So we can't lose track of that. And the other thing we can't lose track of is the younger generations of players have come up on this stuff. They've come up, grown up with the tech. I mean, like I coach junior high and high school players. And we've been using this for years, getting their bat speeds and all of these things off of little sensors on the bat or off of computerized systems that are in the batting cages. So all of the guys that are coming up now that are younger, guys in their, let's say like 25, 26 and younger, this is what they've come up with. This is what they're using in college. This is what like they're doing at Vanderbilt. This is what they're doing at Mizzou and all these other places. They all do it to different degrees, but it's not going away. It's going to be the way of the future. Even if people push back on it now, do you want to go back to the old school now and be behind in 5 years?
This is kind of a little off what you're talking about, but kind of the same thing. I was reading this article about the Atlantic League.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how they're trying new things like bigger bases, stealing first, and robots that call balls and strikes.
Well, not technically robots, just a computer program that does it. Yeah.
So is that all stuff they're testing to see, and has any of it made it through, or what's happened with that stuff?
Way too early, but that's all stuff that's possible as you get to the big leagues. They've been talking about the electronic strike zone for a long time, and as soon as they get it down to where it's really, really accurate and unassailable, it'll be in the big leagues.
And what do you think about that?
Good.
Bring it. You like it?
Bring it. bring it. I'm tired of seeing bad mistakes.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, one thing you understand, you know, and I say this as a guy that's a catching person, right? Like, I was a catcher as a player. I teach catching now. And, you know, there's this thing that everybody's had a big emphasis on is called framing pitches, right? So you're trying to make a pitch look better than it really is because you're trying to steal strikes. So you're taking a pitch that may be a little out of the zone and you're trying to make it look like it was in the zone so that you can fool the umpire. Well, a lot of things go into that. You know, if it's a veteran hitter and a rookie pitcher, the veteran hitter will get the call more often than the rookie pitcher. If it's a veteran pitcher and a rookie hitter, the veteran pitcher tends to get it. If the reputation of the pitcher is that he's a strike thrower, or if he's been throwing strikes more consistently in that game, he's more likely to get the close call in his favor than somebody's been wild. And what we really need it to be is it's either a strike or a ball. Did it go into the strike zone?
Yeah.
It's a yes or no question. And it can be a yes or no question with that tack once they get it sorted.
One of the, which series was it that was decided by that check call swing?
Yeah, the other day. It was the Giants and the Dodgers. Game 5 of the division series.
Looked to me like he blew it.
He blew it big time. It wasn't even close.
And it just...
And they can't review it because it's not eligible to be reviewed. And I don't know why it's not eligible to be reviewed. It's a simple replay.
Yeah.
You could tell in 10 seconds whether it's a swing or not on those things. We'd like to eliminate as much as we can of the big mistakes. You can't get everything, but you can at least fix the big mistakes.
What do you think of the other thing she's talking about? I'd never heard of this, the expanded bases.
So they went with bigger bases with the idea being that it actually shortens the distance between bases, right? So if it's 3 inches closer from first to second and three, so now you have 6 inches less ground to cover to steal a bag.
So more action.
So the idea of what they want is more action. They want more, because base stealing now is about as low as it's ever been. Nobody runs anymore because people don't want to run into an out in advance of what could be a home run that follows, because all hitters can hit home runs now. And pitchers are really good. Again, it gets back to the math. People don't like this, but it's down to the math. Pitchers and catchers and defensive teams, they know how much time they have to get the ball to home plate, and they will almost all get it there in less than that time that they have. So if it's less than a certain number, the runner can't steal or he's going to get thrown out. You're going to get thrown out because the math doesn't work for you. And it's all things that we've known, again, instinctively for years, but now we have it down. We know exactly how long the pitcher has to get the ball to the catcher so that the guy can't steal.
Yeah. Where do we stand now in the playoffs?
So you've got National League Championship Series. The Braves have taken the first two games. So they won 88 games this year and won their division, and they're up 2-0 on the Dodgers, who won 106 games. And by the way, the Braves have home field advantage because they won a division, and the Dodgers are the wild card team, even though the Dodgers won 18 more games than them in the regular season. So, yeah, it's odd. And then the American League Championship Series is even, so it's 1-1.
Who else is in the Braves division?
So it's the Phillies, the Mets, the Washington Nationals, the Marlins. So it was just kind of a crappy year this year. They were all pretty much mediocre, except the Marlins were a little worse than mediocre. But it's funny because you look at all these teams, and it's, you know, I didn't finish the answer because I don't want to go into too much crazy more numbers because I feel like I'm making people's brains freeze. But this idea of diving more and pushing more into the analytics side, if that's what the Cardinals are looking to do, which it sounds like they are, well, that's what the Dodgers do. And that's what the Giants do. And they just won 107 games. It's what Tampa Bay does. And they were in the playoffs again this year.
Yeah.
It's what Houston does. They're in the American League Championship Series for the 5th straight year. It's what the Red Sox do. And they're in the American League Championship Series. And they've got the most World Series wins in the last 20 years. And you look at all these teams that are still standing, and a lot of the teams that got to the postseason, that's how they run their teams.
Want to hang out?
Sure.
Cool. 352 DGS, Kevin Wheeler hanging out with us. Wheeler said something interesting in the break. We were talking to him. I don't know why we're talking about Taco Bell, but we were.
Because it's getting close to eating time.
And Kev said, I wonder if that's going to die out, like, after our generation.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I've never seen Phoebe and her friends eat Taco Bell.
What do they do? Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A's big. Yeah. Yeah.
I think plenty of youngins eat it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true.
I'm not a spring chicken, but... I love the Taco Bell.
I think it is part of the bro diet. Like, if you're a bro, you got to eat Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm. I wish they'd bring back the Mexican pizza.
Oh, please.
I loved that.
I don't think I've ever had one.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
You have power. Can you please make this happen?
I like it because
of everything I have.
The sauce on the top.
Yeah, the sauce is really good. And I like the tomatoes.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, it's just an amazing creation.
Why would they take it? Oh, look at Andrew. Andrew's jumping at the bit.
Come on in, the Taco Bell.
It's like you guys talking about Bigfoot without me. I'm like,
go ahead. Your turn to comment.
Taco Bell's good.
They're going to do chicken wings.
I like turtles.
I like turtles.
They're doing chicken wings next month, guys.
Why?
Taco Bell chicken wings.
Why?
They're going to be great. Those wings look good.
First of all, I thought chicken wings were like rare now. I thought they were endangered.
You know, here. I keep hearing that, but then everywhere's got them.
Hold on. Taco Bell.
You can get them at the grocery store. You can get them at restaurants.
Wings. Why would I want wings from Taco Bell? I want tacos and I want Mexican pizza.
Ooh, don't they look good, Trish?
The best value in food is the beef burrito at Taco Bell. It's a dollar. And it's like a quarter of a pound of stuff.
I like the cheese burrito, but they don't make that anymore, do they? Or do you have to specifically ask for it?
Oh, God. Jeez. Yesterday when I was shopping for my mom, she wanted 2 separate pounds of ground chuck that she could see. Not in like a tube. Like she's demanding.
I get that.
And,
I get what she's saying.
I'm good. And so I'm waiting behind an obvious mom and a daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, like mom's probably in her 70s, daughter's in her 30s, 40s. And they're standing in front of me awkwardly, but I'm not going to go like, who? So
so out of character for him to do something.
Now I'm not just going to start barking at these.
But they
ladies.
Were shopping for ground chuck like they were shopping for strappy sandals. I'm just like, just pick one. So finally they turned around. They're like, oh. And so I needed to say something friendly. And here's what I do. I reach kind of between them because they're not done shopping. And I grab a couple of ground chucks and I go, wow, it's so expensive, right? I couldn't have told you within $3 how much it's ever been. Yeah. And they didn't say a word to me. They both look at me like, mm.
You happen to know where the chili chubs are.
Oh my God.
We're like, security.
I make my living talking to people. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at the prices, ladies. Can you find me a smaller pack? Because I only have $7.
You could have just said, excuse me. Like, you didn't have to say anything.
I have to fill the space.
You must entertain, Trish. What do you not understand?
I'm on stage.
You got to show off that wit. Otherwise, who is he?
I got caught slapping the meat one time.
Yeah.
I like to slap meat, like cold
what?
Meat. Like
Oh,
like
I thought we were using
ribs.
Code words here.
Yeah, no. Ribs.
It's a sharp turn into that.
Literally slapping meat.
I picture you like Rocky
chuck.
Balboa,
yes.
except instead of punching
yes.
it, you're rocking around smacking it.
I'd been doing the show for like
you're
2 years, and we're at a grocery store, and, you know, whatever, everyone else is somewhere else. I'm just like, smack, smack, smack. And a girl walks up, and I thought I was in trouble. Like, she worked with me, she goes like, you're Dave Glover, aren't you? It's one of the first times I was ever recognized.
You're like, no.
So what else? What else I can do?
We should do a flash mob of that.
Meat
all
slapping.
Show up at the meat department, like all four of us, and just start
slapping the meat.
Yeah, it's like stomp.
I do love it. Thanks, Kev.
See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.